Hot 1027 Business with Michael Avery.
Joining me now is Jeremy Sampson, the one and only brand father, to talk all things branding. Good evening, Jeremy, and thanks for joining me. I suppose front of mind since this morning has been the whole issue around the flagpole issue. 22 million rands really for a South African flag?
Hello, Kwabe. Very good to be with you, and good evening, all your listeners. Yes, it really has got people's attention. Look, I think obviously debate about could the money be better spent, that can go on and on and on, and let's park that. But I actually reached out to a friend of mine who knows about flags and has got a company, and he's crafting flags all the time. And he actually said that the amount of money allocated was, in his view, about right. He said people don't realize that when you have a pole this high, obviously it has to have a foundation. So that means you've got to drill into the ground to make sure there's rock there or something that's going to be solid. You've got to then put the concrete in, as it were, and then you've got to put the pole in. And then he said when it comes to the actual flag, there are all sorts of international specs that you've got to follow. The length of the flag apparently should be roughly one-fifth the height of the pole and all this sort of thing. And then he said, don't forget that flags wear out depending on the wind, and you don't know which direction the wind's coming from. So he said, all in all, it's quite a complicated thing. And he actually thought it was quite a good idea. He said, no, flags are beautiful. Well, he would, wouldn't he? And as long as they work properly, and they could be admired and they can make a statement. So I guess that's another perspective. But then coming back to could the money be better spent, well, that's a whole debate that I notice as well that in Financial Mail today, Mr. Rose, the editor, has had some things to say.
Well, I suppose, I mean, this is the big issue that I think I witness on a daily basis in South Africa, is that it's almost like the broad populace is trying to find themselves within a broader South African context. And there's a continuous question that people are asking, and that is, who am I? Why am I here in this South African context? And how do we behave as South Africans? It's almost trying to find that group identity. Here is a thing that the ministry thought could potentially unify people, but clearly there's a huge amount of opinions about that. I mean, in some cases, or right on the one side of the debate is, do we really need to be spending this amount of money given the levels of poverty in the country? And the other side, well, maybe we should be, because there's not much that unifies us.
Well, you're absolutely right. Also, I find it interesting that in a lot of countries, if there is a dispute or an argument, or people want to come together, there is a focal point that people come to. You know, if you're in London, you go to Trafalgar Square and you march through the streets to get there. But that's where people will gather. Now, in South Africa, that doesn't happen. Now, we can watch gatherings in Paris and all over the world, Washington, where people can congregate, whether they want to say yay or nay, whether they want to demonstrate, but there are specific places that you can do that. Whereas in South Africa, you know, is the capital Pretoria, is it Cape Town, or is it Bloemfontein? People don't gather, and in fact, as a result of that, I don't think we rarely come together to make a statement as a people, as a community, and I think that's something that needs to be worked on.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I suppose that becomes brand South Africa, ultimately. I think there's, you know, as you would probably agree, there's absolutely standout on a world-class basis. There's standout achievements, you know, of South Africans. And then there's just some things that most people just kind of raise their eyebrows. And it's almost trying to find brand South Africa. What is that thing? Who are we as a people? And I suppose we'll only be able to really identify and define that within decades to come. It's not something that you just do in a heartbeat.
Yeah, but I find it's interesting how things are incredibly fragmented in South Africa. You know, whether it's the capital, whether it's a place to meet, but things don't fit together, as it were. And even when it comes to Brand South Africa and who markets it, there's an organization, of course, called Brand South Africa. But then there's SA Tourism, then there's the GCIS, then there's Durco, then there's Invest in South Africa. All the way down the line, we have fragments, whereas sometimes it's much better to pull things together, put the muscle in one place, if I can put it that way, and that way we have a much more coordinated and focused approach. And of course, in marketing, that's one of the key things. Get some muscle, be coordinated, and keep the focus all the time.
Going on to international matters, Jeremy, recession, depression, stagflation, interest rates, all these acronyms, most people have never heard of these things, and maybe you know where the world is heading, and it'll be great to hear your opinion.
Well, this is your world, Kurve, and a lot of the people I listen to, but all I know is that when I look at some of the local business news and then some of the international, I end up totally confused because which opinion do you want? And yesterday, for instance, I went on to a webinar for an hour where a very, very well-known wealth management company had three speakers, one of whom was in London, and I have to say they were pretty positive about the whole thing and said, well, you know, just be careful, but everything's going to be all right, it's going to be all right, it's going to be all right type of thing. And then you pick up the papers this morning in the FM, and whoa, you look at the news this morning, whoa, you know, the world is in a very, very difficult place. And I have to say, who's got the best opinion here? Now, this is where I tend to look, and perhaps I shouldn't, but I tend to look at some of the older, more seasoned commentators, if I can put it that way, who've seen some of the conditions before. But when you look at the world at the moment, we're in a bit of a perfect storm here. And let's face it, no one knows the answer. We don't know where it's going to come out. All I can say to anyone is just be very, very careful.
Well, you know, Jeremy, if I said to you 2 years ago, look, we're going to go through a period where U.S. inflation is higher than South African inflation, people would have laughed at me. People would have said, are you absolutely insane? And that is exactly the situation that we have today, is that yep. U.S. inflation is actually higher than what South African inflation is. Well, it's just a matter of time before it, I believe, it arrives, you know, inside our borders, and we have to consume that same level of inflation. But, you know, it kind of begs the question, you know, if you look, especially in the Western world, I think as South Africans, we know how to live with a certain level of inflation. But certainly inflation in the Western world has been anemic for many, many decades. You have to go back to the 1980s to try and find super inflation in the United States. And you're starting to live through some of that, and most people don't know how to cope with that. People, you can see most market participants weren't around in the 1980s managing money and trying to make investment decisions, which makes it quite an interesting environment, trying to explain what it is, how they operate, and what it is that they do.
Well, absolutely. And, you know, I've heard many advisors and pundits say, oh, you should, as a household, keep cash available for what, the next 3 months, or is it 6 months, or is it 9 months, or a year? Likewise, running a business, your overheads, make sure you've got some sort of almost a slush fund, but certainly a reserve fund that will carry you through that. And no one knows. All I know is that I'm old enough to know that, sadly, when the world went into the First World War, they thought it would be over in months. Mm-hmm. And what was it? 5 or 6 years. Likewise, the Second World War. They all thought it would be over in a very, very short time. And I stress, I hope I'm wrong, but here we're actually getting into almost a proxy war of the United States and Europe and friends versus Russia, and putting Mr. Putin into a corner and pushing could have dire results as well. And so I don't pretend to know what the answer is, but I fear this could go on for quite a long time because, again, as we know, lots and lots of talk about sanctions, but sanctions take time, and they take a lot of time in some cases to actually have any sort of effect. And then you look at some of the countries that have had sanctions imposed over a decade ago, like North Korea, like Iran, and they're still standing. So I don't know where that leaves us, but I think coming back to what I was saying earlier, a time to be very, very careful, and hopefully we can actually get to a solution quickly.
And perhaps this is the end of globalization as we know it.
Oh, absolutely. I totally agree with you. I think this is the world is changing, and it's changed. COVID already was a huge influence, of course, and we're still seeing the results of that. But now this war, and it is a war, is another aspect. And then, as you rightly say, we haven't had inflation to these levels for several decades. So it's all coming together. And there are a lot of people in positions of authority who haven't experienced this or don't have the actual knowledge of that. Now, they might be very, very clever people, but I think some of them are scrambling to come to terms with the world we live in at the moment.
Back to South Africa. I mean, it's one of the things that I think has been in the news for the last maybe a couple of weeks, is the whole issue around directors. We've got a couple of issues kind of playing itself out. The Peter Moyo issue at Old Mutual, Sipho Potiana issue at APSA, and then also Oceana. If you look at what's been happening there, PwC has been the auditors. There's certainly been strain between the board and PwC, as I understand it. And both there, the chief financial officer and the chief executive officer left in February.
Well, yes, and there's a vacuum. And you know, then we hear that the chief executive has been, shall we say, imposing himself on decisions, and there's all sorts of shenanigans going on. Now, again, with any major company, any major organization, you should have all these checkpoints. Obviously, the board is one, and then there's the exco, and there's always the argument about should the CEO also become the chairman later on or vice versa, and then you have the auditors. Now, I find it interesting that you have new auditors this year, and immediately they, I think, highlighted five areas that they were not happy with. And that reflects not very well on the previous auditors. And you know, things like that are a problem. And then we hear also that at the AGM, they tried to filter the questions and control the questioning to the point that one of the investment, apparently, people who asked the question, they suggested that he come around to the side door, as it were, and meet after the meeting. Now, of course, that's totally wrong as well. And he also apparently said no, he wasn't going to do that, because anything that he discussed with them should be public knowledge. All shareholders could be equal. And I'm sure that if I could listen to some of your listeners now, they're laughing at what I've just said, because shareholders, for the most part, are not equal, sadly. That is the reality.
Now, next week, there's an announcement of Brand Finance's Africa 150 Top Brands. What do you expect there to happen?
Well, it's interesting. It's the third time we've done it, and obviously the first time we did it, it was going into new territory, and we were quite intrigued at how dominant South African brands were. And look, South African brands are still very strong, but it's also interesting to see where the competition is coming from. We expected to see Nigeria stronger than it is, but it's got some very strong brands, especially in the banking sector. But you look at countries like Morocco, and of course they've got a very strong telco there, and then you look across at Egypt, and that's before you come down to Kenya. So it's interesting how we're getting more countries creating brands that are stronger in Africa. But again, we're finding that there are very few truly Pan-African brands, if any. You know, most brands go to about 8 or 9 countries max, and that's it. But by far the strongest sector across the whole continent is between the banks and telcos.
Yeah, and then I suppose to end, Jeremy, IPL, SA players continue there to shine. Quinton de Kock hitting his third highest IPL score to knock out Brendan McCullum there of the Knight Riders. I mean, this is despite everything that's happened in SA cricket here in South Africa. It's an absolute amazement achievement. Here we talk again about Brand South Africa. Here's standout achievement, right?
Well, absolutely. And after all, it's minister who's putting up the flagpole, who's also the Minister of Sport. So he's got an interesting portfolio. But Quinton de Kock last night was absolutely majestic, absolutely brilliant. Unfortunately, I didn't see it from the beginning of the game. I only saw it as he was wicket-keeping later on, but of course we saw the highlights. But also, what a magnificent game of cricket, right down to the very, very last ball. But, you know, this is where, as we've been saying for some time, South Africa has amazing cricketers and ambassadors. They're astride the global stage. You know, last night, again, we had Graham Smith as one of the commentators. We had Tumi, who's been there for a long time. And we should be proud of these people. We should celebrate them. These are the experts. These are the real professionals. And unfortunately, there are too many people in positions of power who aren't as professional as they should be, perhaps. And in fact, they're rank amateurs compared with some of the people we've got at the moment representing us around the world, whether as players or ambassadors, or as commentators.
Jeremy Sampson, he's the brand father, and I'm Kirby Lachrunchy from Rick Slum Invest.
Thanks, Kirby.
Hot 102.7 Business with Michael Avery.